And I found that college had gone liberal, and I wanted to get out of there at the time, and I was looking for a Baptist college, a Bible-believing Baptist college, and I came out here to, at the time, Baptist Bible College. I got my bachelor's degree from there, and then I went to the seminary, got my master's degree. And, you know, I thank God for teachers that affected my life and examples. I think of Dr. Tom Williams, staff evangelist. I think of Dr. Ernest Pickering, the president of the college, a great preacher. I think of Dr. Wendell Kempton, great missions leader and Bible college teacher for my class. And I think of a man in seminary that the more I preach and teach and study the Word of God, I think this man had a huge impact, and he was a great teacher, a gifted teacher. His name was Dr. John Benson. And Dr. Benson wrote a book on who is the Antichrist that's very thought-provoking, interesting, and helpful. He wrote other books. He wrote on preaching, and he was a great, great teacher. And he wrote extensively on the kingdom of God. And he turned me on to that whole subject on the Word of God. And that really helps me to understand the Bible. And he said something that I've never forgotten, and I verified it through the years, that the theme of the Bible is the mediatorial kingdom. He mentioned books by George H.N. Peters, a great Lutheran theologian, and Dr. Elva McLean, past president of Grace Theological Seminary, who wrote on the greatness of the kingdom. These are great books. But he talked about the mediatorial kingdom being the theme of the Bible, and that you really can't understand the Bible unless you understand that. And that unlocked something for me. It gave me a tool when I studied the Bible to understand the Word of God. And he said something that I began to understand, and I verified it in Scripture, that when you look at this idea of the kingdom of God, there are two kingdoms of God. One is God's eternal rule. God has never had a beginning. He'll never had an end. He's always been on the throne. He rules over all. And he created everything out of nothing. So therefore, God can do what he wants to do. Amen? And whatever he does is right. Whatever he says is right. And you accept that because you know he's God. You should. And you know, God's kingdom is, even when Satan rebelled against God, and even when he took over the world, God is still on the throne. And we see from the Bible, Satan has to ask God's permission. God permitted to allow him to fall. God permitted to allow him to rebel. God is, and that's God's eternal kingdom. He's always been on the throne. He's always been reigning. He'll never be dethroned. He never was dethroned from his kingdom. That's one kingdom. But the theme of the Bible is not that, even though that's in the Bible. The theme of the Bible is what? The mediatorial kingdom. And what do we mean by the mediatorial kingdom? That God's rule over planet Earth is mediated through a man, always through a man, not a woman. I love women. My mother's here. She's a woman. My wife's here. She's a woman. I have three daughters. They're women. I love women. But I'm going to say that God chose the man to be the king of the world. You say, I don't like that. Well, that's tough. God made it that way. Now, the good news is he chose Eve to be his queen. And she was his equal and his partner as the queen over the kingdom. Amen? But the king had the last word. And he ruled over, and God made Adam to do that. And he was perfect, and he had the perfect queen. Isn't that nice? Everything was great. And so that is what we're talking about when we think about the mediatorial kingdom. Now, you know, if you've studied the Bible, that kingdom was lost by Adam. The king lost it. The king had a great fall, like Humpty Dumpty. And he lost the kingdom, and so it defaulted to an angel. And who is that angel? Satan. His name is Lucifer. He likes to be called Lucifer, which is light bearer, but God calls him the devil. God calls him Satan. So any of his fallen angels that are listening, he's the devil, he's Satan. And he's ruled this world for 6,000 years. But he hasn't dethroned God from his kingdom, but he has stolen the mediatorial kingdom from man. An angel, or an angelic being, because he's not technically an angel, he's a cherub, is not meant to rule the world. It's meant to be ruled by a man. And so for 6,000 years, you have a usurper on the throne. And that brings me to our text this morning in Luke chapter 12, and our text is in verse 32. And we want to look at that, and our Lord is speaking to his disciples. And he called them a little flock. Now, a flock is made up of sheep, and he is the chief shepherd, and he is shepherding the flock, which happened to be the first church. The first church. And he is building the church in his earthly ministry before the baptism with it in the Holy Spirit into a spiritual union called the body of Christ. But they were still the church, and he was forming that church, and he was calling them a flock, and he was saying to them that you are a little flock in this world compared to this world. There's so many people in the world. You are chosen out of the world, and you are my flock. And he said, don't be afraid, fear not. And I want to get you to see why he said not to be afraid. Look at verse 32. I'll read it. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? Say it out loud.
Kingdom.
Say it again.
Kingdom.
Amen. And which kingdom is that? The mediatorial kingdom. You see, the Bible says that the kingdom is coming back to a man. It's coming back to a king that's going to be worthy of it. A king that won't fail like Adam did. And he is called the King of Kings, and so he's choosing out a flock of people, don't miss this, that are going to rule with him in his kingdom and inherit the world to come. And the Bible is all about that. You see this kingdom lost in Genesis and regained in what book? Revelation. That is the theme of the Bible. And they lived happily ever after, the end of the fairy tale. But this is no fairy tale. This is the King of Kings is coming. The Prince is coming. Someday my Prince will come. You ever hear that? Yes, he will. It's not a fairy tale. And the kingdom is what he's talking about here to his disciples. He's saying, fear not. No matter what the devil does, no matter what the world does, no matter what's going on around you. I've read the last page of the Bible. And his kingdom will return and be restored. Praise God. And the ones that will rule with him are his flock, his sheep, his church. Scranton Revival Baptist Church. If you're saved and you are a member of the local New Testament church, you're part of his flock, and he's going to rapture all the churches. He mentions them in Revelation, seven different kinds of churches. He's going to rapture believers from all of the churches, and they're going to be his universal church in heaven. There will not be a universal church until we get to the rapture, amen? But it's coming. But fear not in the meantime, little flock. And you say, well, Pastor, how can I not fear? I want to just look at one point tonight by focusing on your future kingdom. The Lord said to this nucleus of his church that he was building, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Have you ever noticed how Satan wants this world? Have you ever noticed how he's held it for 6,000 years? And how there are people. And the more we get closer to the end of the world, the more you see people fighting for the world. I think of what I call the Western globalists. They're plotting right now to control this world. They're killing people to control this world. I've mentioned the bioweapon that they've launched. Somebody said, I think I've had Corona SARS, they called it COVID. I think I've had it four times or whatever. That was a bioweapon launched by Western globalists to control the world. The jab is part of that. And they are trying to control this world. Why? So that they can set up a one-world cashless system. Right now, Joe Biden's already written up the plans for it. There are people that they want to control everything, buying and selling. So there'll be no cryptocurrencies. There'll be no money that will be legal aside from their cashless currency, globalist currency. That's a way to control the world. They want the kingdom. The world wants the kingdom. Satan wants the kingdom. And so the Bible speaks about the Lord giving the rulership of this earth. And the Lord says, ha ha, the world is not going to get it. Ha ha, I'm going to laugh when the kings of the earth are going to try to dethrone me. I'm coming. I'm coming back. I'm going to kick them out. I'm going to rule the world. And you don't need to fear, little flock, because you're going to rule with me. I'm giving it to you. Why? Because that's what the Father wants. That's a wonderful thing, beloved. This morning, if you're saved by Jesus Christ, you're being prepared to rule the world. And the Bible teaches you this morning in Matthew 11:12, he says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What is that talking about? John the Baptist announced to the nation of Israel, if you accept your Messiah, if you turn to him and trust him as your Messiah and repent of your sin, you will be saved and you will have the kingdom of the world, and you, Israel, will rule over the whole world with your Messiah from Jerusalem. And we know the story. They did not accept him. In fact, they did violence to John the Baptist. They did what? They cut his head off. What did they do to the Savior? They crucified him on a Roman cross. The kingdom of heaven, the mediatorial kingdom, suffered what? Violence. And the violence took it by force. The leaders of the Jewish people took it. Isn't that what the Western globalists are doing now? Didn't these Jewish leaders charge exorbitant profits to worship God? If people wanted to worship God at the temple, they made them take and pay great deals of money because they had to exchange their Roman money into special Jewish temple money, and they charged them a whole bunch of money to worship God, and they made a big profit on it. That's why Jesus took whips and by force he drove them out of the temple. They're trying to do the same thing today. That's what the Obama administration is doing through the puppet Biden. They're taking the money today and they are inflating it. They're just making it useless. They're making it worthless. Why? They're taking it by force and controlling the wealth of the world. That's why these people say, you can't fly, you can't grow your own crops, you can't do this, but we can. You see, Jesus said, don't be afraid of all of this, little flock. He said, because the Father is going to give the kingdom to you. The rule of the world is going to be your rule of the world, and that is what God's plan is. But really, for 6,000 years, God has been working out his kingdom program, and the devil has been fighting God all the way, trying to stop it by force. By the way, the kingdom will not come to earth until every last Jew gets saved. That's why there's anti-Semitism. Satan hates the Jews and wants to kill every Jew because he knows if he kills every Jew, the kingdom can't come to this earth. So every Jew has to be killed. That's why Hitler was controlled by Satan, and he didn't want to win the Second World War as much as he wanted to kill Jews. That was his main goal. And so you see, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. But the last I checked out, God permits this because he is the eternal king. He's on the throne, and there is no force, there is no power, there is no ability that can stand up to God. That's why if you're a child of God this morning, you don't need to fear. No matter what happens, God is on his eternal throne. Amen. The devil is God's devil, and he will not be able to ultimately and successfully take the rulership of this world away from Jesus Christ, who is the coming king. And even though he was allowed to crucify Christ, and Satan wanted to crucify Christ, the Pharisees wanted it, the Sadducees wanted it, it was all part of God's plan so that our sins could be paid for and that we could rule with him as sinners that are redeemed and forgiven, and we are loosed from our sin by the blood of the Lamb and lifted up to be kings and priests to our God. So right now, if you're a saved member of a church, Scranton Revival Baptist Church, you may not be the largest church in the world. I believe the Roman Catholic Church, which is a not a true church, is the largest. But right now, you who are saved and members of the church, you are a part of the queen, the bride of Christ, the ruling aristocracy that will rule over the kingdom of God, and you will do it with your body being glorified, never able to get sick, never able to die, never able to be defeated. You say, Pastor, are you sure? Yes, it says in Matthew 19, 28, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew 19, 28. He's talking about the mediatorial kingdom that's coming. And he's saying that there's coming a day when this whole earth is going to be regenerated. Now, if you're saved, you're regenerated, you're born again. But there's coming a day when Christ returns and pours out his wrath that he's going to regenerate after that the whole world. And it's going to be like it was in Edom. And the lion's going to lie down with the lamb. And it's going to be beautiful. And the curse will be lifted as far as the thorns and the thistles. And the farming will be tremendous. And the globalists won't be there to tell you you can't grow your own food and all of that garbage. And it'll be a wonderful time. And he said, in the regeneration, you who are part of my little flock, that you are going to be on thrones. And each of you 12 apostles, Judas was replaced by Paul, you will rule over the nation of Israel. Each of you will have a tribe, and you will rule over the nation of Israel. And that's what the Bible is very clear. And he says that right here. But he also says in 1 Corinthians 6, he said this to the church at Corinth. He said, do ye not know that the saints shall judge or rule the world? He went on to say, know ye not that we shall judge angels or rule angels? See, right now, Satan rules this present evil world. Satan has his fallen angels over this world. And Adam fell, and so Jesus came to restore the rule of the world, and Satan took it by force. He killed him, but that didn't stop the Lord. It was all part of his plan. You see, can I say something to you right now? You remember King David? How many remember King David in the Bible? He was anointed by God to rule the nation of Israel. He was anointed by Samuel the prophet, oil on his head. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit upon him. But what happened? Saul said, I'm taking that by force. I'm going to kill you, David. And David was in exile. Do you know that's the way Jesus Christ is right now? He came to rule the world through ruling over Israel. Satan got Israel to rebel. They crucified him. And now he's in exile, just like his ancestor, according to the flesh, David, was. He's in exile. But what happened to David while he was exiled? People came to him. They came to the other side of the tracks. They came to the cave where he was hiding. They joined his army. They were discontented with Saul and the kingdom. Who was sitting on the throne? Somebody that shouldn't have been there, Saul. He was not any longer anointed. God took his anointing off him. He fired him. That's what happened to Satan when he rebelled. God took his anointing off of Satan. He's the anointed cherub that covereth. And God took the anointing. And he's no longer the fifth beast around the throne. There are only four there now. Pentagram is his sign. Five. He's not there. God kicked him out of that. But what is he doing? He's sitting on the throne of the world. And the true king is in exile. And we who are believers in Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not part of this world system. You're in exile from this world system. And so you are a prince or princess in waiting. And it's a blessed thing. Now, if you're not saved, if you're not on the Lord's side, you are waiting for the prince, the king, to come back, and you're going to be judged during the wrath of God that's going to be poured out on this world. And we're getting closer and closer to a big collision between God and Satan. And so you say, well, what should I do if I'm in exile and I know my king is coming, and I know that we're going to rule with him over the kingdom when he gives it to us, like he promised in Luke chapter 12, 32. What should you be doing? Well, you should focus on the kingdom to come. You should invest your life in the kingdom to come, because it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." How many have heard of a secret rapture? Raise your hand. Secret rapture, thief in the night. It's not secret. When Jesus comes back, the inner glory of the Holy Spirit will shine, and your body will be glorified, and the world will see believers now like angels, and their bodies will shine with the glory. And if a person hasn't accepted Christ, when he comes back, their body will just be the same, but your body will be changed if you're alive. And those that they killed or that are dead in the grave, their bodies will be raised the same way, and everybody will see it. It will be what's called the manifestation of the sons of God. When? At the second coming, at the rapture. And then angels will literally come and take you up to meet the Lord. And the world will see it, beloved. But they'll know they've taken the mark of the beast and they've thrown their lot in with the devil, and they're going to fight it right to the end. That's why I say to you, if you're not saved, now is the time. This is the place to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And by the way, when you receive him as your Savior, automatically he leads your life from that time on. He just does it automatically, beloved. And you come under his laws, not because they're over your life to get you saved, but because you love the Lord and you want to keep his commandments and you want to live for him. And you want to submit to this thing called the Bible right here, the word of the Lord. So that's what you need to focus on, because he said it is the Father's good pleasure to give you that mediatorial kingdom. The world is not going to be Satan's forever. Everything is topsy-turvy, but I'm going to turn the world right side up. I'm going to rule the world, and I've chosen you who have accepted me. Just like David, remember all the people that came to him, and his army grew when he became king, and Saul was killed. Remember, Saul got killed by God's judgment. David wouldn't take it into his own hands. He waited for God's time. Then David was on the throne, and all the people that were on his side in exile now, they were sitting on the throne. They were ruling with David. That's going to happen to you. But if you are against this Bible, and if you're against the Bible, you're against Jesus Christ, because he's exalted his word above his name. If you're against the Bible and the teaching of the Bible and the preaching of the Bible, you're on the wrong side. You need to repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's what kept Paul going when he was arrested, when he was beaten. And finally, he was arrested. He was freed from being in prison. And then he got rearrested by Nero. And what did Nero do? He said, "I am going to throw you to the lions, Paul." And Paul said, "Wait a minute, sir. I'm a Roman citizen. I have a choice. I choose not to go to the lions. I choose to have my head chopped off. I'd rather go that way." Nero had no choice. He's a Roman citizen. Okay. And the Apostle Paul spoke about the kingdom. Just to show you, he was in jail. What was he thinking about? What was he focusing on? The mediatorial kingdom, 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. It says this, Paul says, "And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." Did he know he was going to die? Yes, he did. But he knew even if he died by an evil work of the Jews that got him arrested and the Romans, Nero, even if he had that evil work and he died, guess what? He's not going to miss the rapture. If you die before the rapture, you're going to be raised from the dead. If you're alive at the rapture, your body's going to be changed. And guess what? Then the kingdom of God will be established and you will rule with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing it is if you're saved. You're part of a little flock. You're outnumbered. You're outgunned. But listen, the Father's good pleasure is to give you, not the globalists, the kingdom. To give you, not the world with all their money and their wealth and their stardom and all of this, the kingdom. No, it's to be for the child of God. And so once you start to see that it's all about your role in Christ's future rule, then guess what? You're going to start seeking your real rewards. And you'll start investing your life, your time, your treasures, and everything in the mediatorial kingdom to come. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. What if you want to be like some believer and you say, you know what? I want to be like the Corinthian church. So what are you talking about? Many in the Corinthian church made the sensual, soft choices instead of the harder choices to follow Christ in day-by-day life. Why did they do that? They wanted more popularity in the world. They compromised with the world. They didn't want to give up the music of the world, you know. They didn't want to give up the pleasures. And so they tolerated that kind of thing. And they went along with that kind of thing because they didn't want to be unpopular and practice church discipline. And they didn't want to take the stands. Well, the Bible says those that teach things against the word of God will be what in the kingdom of heaven? Least. But those that practice and do and teach the word of God faithfully will be what in the kingdom of heaven? Greatest. You say, I don't care as long as I just get in the kingdom. Well, let me tell you, you will care. There are rewards. And there are loss of rewards. And the rewards are when the Lord rules, he will give you a greater responsibility and a greater share in his kingdom. And that will be when it's not hard to serve the Lord because you'll never get sick. You'll never get tired. You'll have wings of eagles. You'll be able to fly. And it'll be a great time to serve the Lord. But now you're being tested. Now you are a child in training for testing. And it's so important how you... Listen, I don't want to just squeak into God's kingdom. I want to have an abundant entrance. I want to make my calling and election sure. You say, how do I make my calling and election sure? Just do what God wants you to do. He get saved, first of all. And then get baptized. Then join the local New Testament church. You can't go anywhere till you do that. And then serve the Lord faithfully. And do all that he has for you to do. And do it for him. Listen, do it to please him. Because he's the one that you're going to get the reward of the inheritance from. You will stand before him and give account to him. Not to your husband. Not to your wife. Not to your kids. Not to any other person. Jesus Christ! And so you say, preacher, what's the message? It's fear not, little flock. By your focusing on the mediatorial kingdom. And Paul rebuked the Corinthian church. Here's what he said to them. I wouldn't want to fall under this rebuke, would you? Here's what he said to the Corinthians. He said, now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign that we also might reign with you. What's he talking about there? He's saying, I would to God you were really in the kingdom, then I would be reigning too. But wait a minute, I'm not in the kingdom. I'm with David. I'm in exile. We are hunted by Saul. We are hunted by his army. He hates us. Why? Because we're getting people saved. We're out there doing the work of the Lord. And that is to go to get people saved and to get them baptized and to knock on doors and to challenge people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to stand for the word of God. And we're rejected by the world. But not you guys. You've compromised. So you're rich because of compromise. You're at peace because of compromise. He said, you're ruling, you're acting like now is the kingdom of God. You know, you ever hear the health and wealth gospel people? They act like right now it's all about us, that everything's supposed to be good for us. Not necessarily, my friends. And even if he does bless you, you need to hold it with an open hand and be ready to distribute and to serve God and to please him. And so that's what he's saying. They were carnal. And he says, for I think that God hath set forth us apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. But what does the Bible say? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You see, he is no fool, Jim Elliot said, to give what he cannot keep. Some of you, if you rob God of the tithe and the offering, you think, oh man, I'm keeping more money for myself. You are foolish. You're being a fool. Because he is no fool who give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You're not giving it to the pastor, you're giving it to Jesus. I've had people, they withhold their money because they get mad at me. I said, good luck. You're just robbing yourself of blessings. That's all. You're not fighting me. Fighting Jesus. I'm serving the Lord. And I want you to have great fruit when he comes back. You know, John 15 talks about fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Want to have that everlasting entrance into the kingdom. What is holding you back from that? Listen to me. Focus on the future kingdom. Focus on the future mediatorial kingdom. That is the message today. And get involved with those that are so focused. And the Corinthians weren't doing that. And that was the mentality of Peter. You know, Peter, the apostle, he said to the Lord, he said, now don't go to Jerusalem. You know, if you go to Jerusalem, you're gonna lose. You're going to lose. You may lose your life. Don't go there. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, I'm going to do what the Father wants me to do. And he did. And he listen, you've got to focus on what God wants you to do. And whether it's a friend, a family member, anybody else that tries to pull you away from soul winning, away from the church, they are carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. They may think they're doing something right, but they're not. You don't put anybody above Jesus Christ. You put him first. And every time I've done that throughout my life, I've never regretted it. I've never regretted it. And I don't believe I'll regret it when Jesus comes back. I don't believe I'll regret it when he sets up his kingdom. And neither will you, beloved. And so today, he says, don't be afraid. You don't have to worry. You know, people are so worried about their jobs and their money and all of this. He says, all these things the world is preoccupied with. He said, get your focus on the future kingdom, and everything else will take care of itself. And so Jesus warns us about all of these things. And he says, if you try to be first now, when Satan is ruling, you're going to lose out on rewards when he sets up his kingdom. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I was remembering when I was a young man, I went to Bible college, and I saw these lovely young girls, and I was always distracted from doing what God wanted me to do because I was afraid I would miss a chance to talk to a girl that maybe that would be the one that God would have for me. And I had a friend of mine that told me, he said, you got it all wrong. He said, you don't need to chase girls. He said, you need to follow God and get locked into God. And that girl, whoever she is, will get caught up in your tailspin as you go by like a jet. And when he said that, it stuck out to me. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to forget about seeking a wife and I'm going to seek the Lord. And he brought me in a wonderful wife that's just suitable and wonderful. And I thank God for her every day. And you know what? That's what you need to do. And I'm talking to young men. That's what you need to do. Ladies, the same thing. Be with God. And when God says you're ready to help somebody, he'll work that. But you see, we prolong getting things done by getting distracted by doing things out of order. God does everything in order. And he says, seek ye first in Luke chapter 12, the kingdom of God, verse 31. Seek the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The proper order. First things first. And so this morning, I say God wants you to focus on the kingdom that he promises that he's going to give. And he's going to give you your part in the kingdom. Just like in the book of Joshua, the land of Israel, the earthly people were given their part. You've got a part over the earth that you're going to have. But right now, he's testing you. Right now, he's training you. And what are you going to do? Some of you, you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't, you won't even be in the kingdom at all. You'll die and go to hell. And so you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and bow to him and say, Lord, I believe that you died for the world and for the sins of the world, and I put my faith in you, and you'll be saved, and then you'll be in his kingdom. But once you're saved, then you need to follow him and focus on getting rewards from him and getting a smile on his face. Because he's chosen you for the kingdom. And he wants you to serve. You say, will I be disappointed? Yes, you'll have disappointments. Yes, you'll have attacks from people. Yes, you'll have people discourage you. But if the Lord is smiling and you did his will, you can smile. Because it's not in vain. Your work is not in vain. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about the future kingdom. Focusing on it.